Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I'm Andy Jaswal, your guide, and today we are tackling a really critical intersection of federal strategy, massive compliance spending, and some major technological disruption.
And I'm Ronnie Searle. My role here is to really synthesize the operational reality, to connect those White House mandates directly to the technology that actually makes them work.
We've taken the strategic documents, the executive orders, and all the internal research you sent over. And our mission today is, well, it's pretty simple, to perform a deep dive into the question, why U.S. federal agencies should adopt Fortanix to meet initiatives, mandates, and mission requirements to secure and accelerate speed to mission.
Right. And this isn't just about, a product pitch. It's about understanding the entire strategic landscape that federal CIOs and mission leaders are facing right now. It's a complex picture.
It really is. We're going to be looking at how Fortanix's Data Security Manager, or DSM, and their confidential computing portfolio offer a pretty unique solution.
The core challenge in government today, and you see this everywhere, is that the old way of doing security, that legacy hardware-centric approach, is just fundamentally obsolete.
Obsolete, because data is now completely fluid, right?
Yeah.
It's moving constantly.
Exactly. It's across hybrid, multi-cloud environments. It's on-prem. It's everywhere. So our goal is to show how this kind of platform doesn't just, check a box on a compliance sheet.
It actually turns these huge mandates, things like zero trust, PQC, AI adoption, from what feel like expensive hurdles, into
core mission acceleration factors. That's the key. You're turning a requirement into an advantage.
And that's a crucial distinction.
Yeah.
We're going to be focusing squarely on the data pillar of federal cybersecurity. You hear so much about identity, about network boundaries.
Endless discussions. But the data itself, the high-value assets, that's the crown jewel. Fortanix really addresses this with a software-defined but, and this is critical, a hardware-secured approach. It ensures control stays sovereign with the agency no matter where that data actually lives.
Okay, so let's unpack all of that. I think we should start with what's driving all the spending and really all the decision-making right now. You call it the regulatory tsunami.
Yeah, and the idea is that these compliance mandates are no longer just, some vague guidance. Mm. They are specific, they are funded, they are technical requirements that literally create the entire procurement landscape.
So when you say compliance is the core driver.
I mean that these executive orders, they come with specific budget requirements, they come with timelines. So if a vendor can definitively prove they align with that mandate, they're positioned for a really powerful, a mandated procurement motion.
Let's start with the biggest one then, the one that really governs everything right now. Zero Trust Architecture, or ZTA. It all comes from Executive Order 14028.
That's the one. That order demanded a fundamental shift in mindset. A huge one. Moving from the old trust but verify model.
Never trust, always verify.
Always verify. And for the federal CISO or the authorizing official, the AO, their playbook for that is OMB Memorandum M2209.
That memo gets really specific.
It does. While identity and access management and network segmentation are important, M2209 defined the data pillar. And that demands absolute control over encryption. Agencies must encrypt data at rest and in transit, but, and here's the critical twist, they must retain visibility and control over their encryption keys.
Okay, so let's dig into that. Why can't they just use the cloud provider's native encryption? I mean, AWS and Azure have great tools. Why is retaining that control over the keys a non-negotiable part of zero trust?
Because the whole principle of zero trust requires you to block unauthorized access, even by privileged insiders. And that, by definition, includes the cloud service provider, the CSP itself.
So if the mandate says never trust,
then you cannot, by definition, just hand over control of your keys to your infrastructure provider. It doesn't matter if it's AWS or Azure. The keys are the ultimate access control. If the CSP holds the key, they hold the operational power over your data, period.
So if that authorizing official is verifying explicitly, as the mandate says, they need an external validated system to handle those keys, this is where I assume the Fortanix Data Security Manager comes in.
This is exactly what the DSM is built for. It acts as the centralized, independent key management platform. And crucially, for federal adoption, it's FIPPLUS 142 Level 3 validated.
And that validation is everything in the federal space.
It's essential. You can't handle sensitive or classified data without it. So it allows the agency to centralize all of its key management across all of these disparate environments, on-prem, AWS GovCloud, Azure Government, you name it.
And by centralizing it, they're enforcing that verify explicitly rule for the data itself.
Precisely. Think about the flow. A request comes in from some cloud app to decrypt a document. That request has to travel back to the sovereign DSM platform.
Back to the agency's control.
Yes. And there, it's authenticated against the user's identity, it's authorized based on policy, you know, ABA rules, and it's logged before the key is ever released for that decryption. That cryptographic assurance that the agency, and only the agency, controls that process. That is the definition of zero trust in the data domain.
That brings us right to this this decades-old struggle between federal efficiency and federal mandates. You've got CloudSmart on one side and data sovereignty on the other.
And mandates like ITAR for defense articles or CJIS for criminal justice information. This is the logjam. This is what stalls these massive modernization efforts.
The CloudSmart policy is pushing agencies to the cloud for scalability, for efficiency.
But then ITAR, CJIS, and others, they restrict data location and often forbid ceding key control to a commercial entity that might be subject to, you know, foreign jurisdiction or regulatory risk.
And the authorizing official is sitting there with a compliance checklist.
And if the CSP controls the key, they hit an immediate hard stop. A red flag.
So how does Fortanix offer the strategic solution that breaks that impasse?
It's the evolution from what we used to call bring your own key, be okay, to the far more stringent and federally critical concept of hold your own key, or HYOK.
Okay, what's the difference?
Well, with BYOK, you might generate the key, but then you upload a copy to the cloud. The cloud provider usually retains some operational access to it. With HYOK, which is what the Fortanix External Key Manager enables, the agency generates and manages the key entirely externally. The cloud provider never sees that key in plain text. The agency retains complete legal and cryptographic custody.
And this is where we have to talk about that crucial risk mitigation control you mentioned.
Yeah.
The kill switch.
Yeah.
This is the thing that gets the AO to finally sign off on migrating high-value assets.
It is. And we should probably define HVAs quickly. We're talking about any agency system, service, or data that's deemed essential. Think financial records, critical infrastructure controls, classified research. The AO is personally responsible for the risk posture of these assets.
So when they approve a migration to a commercial cloud, they need some kind of unilateral recourse if there's a crisis.
Absolute. Unilateral recourse.
Yeah.
And the Fortanix kill switch provides exactly that. If the agency revokes a key within their sovereign DSM platform, maybe because of a geopolitical event, a suspected zero-day breach, a sudden change in regulations,
anything,
the moment they revoke that key, the data sitting in the cloud, I don't care how many backups or replicas exist, it instantly turns into cryptographic garbage.
Just useless noise.
Completely inaccessible, even to the cloud provider. That capability is the non-negotiable risk mitigation factor that allows the AO to confidently sign the authority to operate for their most sensitive workloads. It just it removes that massive blocker to modernization.
That explanation of the kill switch tied directly to the AO's biggest anxiety is it's fantastic. But let's move beyond current compliance to the future threat landscape. We have to talk about NSM-10 and the shift to post-quantum cryptography, or PQC.
Right, because this is where the difference between Fortanix and legacy hardware becomes a huge financial and strategic calculation.
So, National Security Memorandum 10. Why is this so urgent?
It's arguably the most urgent, long-term strategic mandate the federal government faces. And the urgency comes from the harvest now, decrypt later threat.
Meaning adversaries are collecting our encrypted data today.
Actively collecting it. And
yeah.
They're just storing it, fully expecting that within the next, say, decade, a sufficiently large quantum computer will exist that can retroactively decrypt all of it, breaking current classical algorithms like RSA and ECC. NSM-10 mandates a full transition to quantum-resistant cryptography, or QRC.
And the timeline is aggressive. So for agencies that are relying on these older hardware-centric security systems, you called it the rip-and-replace nightmare. Right. What does that actually look like?
I mean, just try to imagine the scale. The largest federal agencies, DOD, DHS, the VA, they have thousands of physical security appliances scattered all over the globe. Hardware security modules, HSMs.
Physical boxes.
And inside each one are these fixed application-specific integrated circuits, ASICs. These chips are hard-coded in silicon for today's algorithms. So when NIST finalizes the new PQC algorithms like Crystal's Kyber and Dilithium, and the CNSA 2.0 suites are mandated.
Every single one of those boxes has to go.
Every single one from every vendor must be manually swapped out.
That sounds like a capital expenditure event that would just dwarf most agency IT budget.
It's multi-billion dollars, multi-year, and it's logistically almost impossible to pull off without massive operational disruption. You're talking physical shipping, installation, recertification processes all over the world. It's an unsustainable model for cryptographic evolution.
So how does Fortanix just leapfrog the entire problem? How do they turn what sounds like a massive liability into an asset?
It's their core strategic advantage, crypto agility. Fortanix DSM doesn't rely on fixed hard-coded ASIC hardware. It runs on general-purpose Intel SGX processors and uses software-defined cryptography, meaning that when the final PTC standards are approved, Fortanix DSM can support the required QRC algorithms and the CNSA 2.0 suite simply through a software update. No boxes to swap.
So for a federal regional sales manager, the pitch completely changes. You're not selling a product anymore.
No, you're selling a long-term strategic advantage. You're selling an insurance policy against a future catastrophic capital expenditure. Why would you invest tens of millions today on legacy hardware that you know has an expiry date tied to the quantum threat?
When you can invest in a platform that guarantees that agility through software.
Exactly. It makes Fortanix a demonstrably more fiscally responsible and strategic choice for any long-term federal modernization effort.
But wait a second. If Fortanix runs on Intel SGX processors, doesn't that introduce a different kind of risk? Maybe vendor lock-in or a reliance on a single architecture, which the federal government usually tries to avoid?
That's a fair and critical question, and it's one the AO would absolutely ask. The key differentiator is that while SGX provides the underlying hardware-secured, trusted execution environment, Fortanix's DSM is the layer that abstracts the security away from that specific hardware.
So it's not just SGX.
Right. Fortanix supports multiple TE providers, including AMD SEV and even some cloud-native TEs. This gives the agency the flexibility to choose the underlying hardware platform while maintaining a single, unified policy and key management layer through the software-defined DSM. The agency retains cryptographic control, which mitigates that vendor lock-in risk.
That's a vital piece of context. Okay, let's pivot from PQC preparedness to the other key future mandate, Executive Order 43110 on safe, secure, and trustworthy AI.
This order introduced immediate new requirements for securing the data and the models used in foundation model development. The AIEO highlighted specific risks: model theft, data poisoning, and the need for data privacy during cross-agency collaboration.
And the technical solution that addresses all three of those is?
Fortanix Confidential Computing.
Okay, we've used acronyms like TEs and SGX. Let's make this tangible for the listener. How does confidential computing actually protect data in use?
Okay, so think of the server inside the cloud or an agency data center as a big open warehouse. Traditionally, when you bring sensitive data out of storage, let's say veteran health records, and you load it into the server's memory for an AI model to process, it's unencrypted. It's vulnerable to anyone inside that warehouse: the cloud provider, a rogue admin, a side channel attack.
Just sitting there in the clear.
In the clear. Confidential computing flips this by using the T, the trusted execution environment. Imagine that T as a secure, windowless vault that's built right into the heart of the server's memory.
Good.
The sensitive data is loaded directly inside this vault, where it stays encrypted even while the AI model is performing the computation on it. The model can run, it can process the data, it can return the result. But no one, not the operating system, not the cloud hypervisor, not the administrator, can see the raw data or the internal workings of the model.
That makes the use case for AI factories and cross-agency collaboration immediately obvious. Can you give us a specific federal scenario?
Absolutely. Let's use the Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA. They hold incredibly sensitive veteran health records. The VA wants to collaborate with, say, an NIH contractor who's running an advanced diagnostic model on AWS GovCloud.
Without this technology, the VA would have to share the raw PII, which would violate privacy standards.
Right. But with Fortanix Confidential Computing, the VA can provide access to the data inside the protected enclave. The contractor's AI algorithm runs securely inside that same enclave. It processes the data and it sends the anonymized or diagnostic result back. The VA gets cryptographic assurance that their sensitive PII never left that protected environment. It enables mission-critical AI without compromising patient privacy or any legal requirements.
That detailed look at the mandates really sets the strategic stage. Now we need to get tactical. For the federal regional sales manager, the highest value targets aren't single projects, they're these common component programs.
Yes, these are centralized platforms that, if you penetrate them, you create a massive network effect across multiple departments. And you have to start with the biggest target, the Department of Defense, and its zero trust engine.
The DoD basically defines the security baseline for the rest of the federal government, so a foothold there is critical.
It's mission critical for Fortanix.
So our first target within the DoD is Platform One in Iron Bank. For anyone listening, Platform One is the DoD's premier DevSecOps managed service. It provides the hardened software factory called Big Bang and the centrally managed container repository, Iron Bank.
And the sheer scale here is the opportunity. We are talking about tens of millions of container image pulls every single month. The integrity of that software supply chain is absolutely paramount.
So every image that gets pulled has to be cryptographically signed and verified to make sure it hasn't been tampered with. That's a core requirement of EO 14028.
And that entire process relies on secrets management and secure code signing keys. So Fortanix DSM acts as the external root of trust for Platform One's entire software supply chain.
It becomes the integrity engine.
Exactly. The DSM manages the critical code signing keys, the CICD secrets that validate the chain of custody for every single software artifact in Iron Bank. This also strongly supports the DoD's shift-left security model. Instead of developers hard-coding credentials or using unsecured native tools,
Which they do all the time.
all the time, they use the Fortanix API to manage secrets in their CI/CD pipelines, Kubernetes, Jenkins, whatever is in that Big Bang environment. It's a foundational, non-disruptive layer that secures everything downstream.
Okay, next target, DISA Thunderdome. This is the DoD's new SASE architecture implementation of Zero Trust. It's massive, replacing the older static security stacks.
Thunderdome is primarily a network and edge security challenge. It's led by major integrators like Booz Allen Hamilton and network vendors like Versa Networks. But you have to remember, Zero Trust is multi-pillar.
So while they handle the network identity and device pillars,
The data pillar still requires its own independent encryption and key management layer, one that persists beyond the SASE network perimeter. Fortanix fills that critical gap.
How does it integrate?
It provides the data-centric security layer that complements the network-centric SASEs. By integrating the DSM with Thunderdome's identity provider, Fortanix enables attribute-based access control, or ABAC, to the encryption keys themselves.
And that's key.
It is. It ensures that even if you've successfully logged into the Thunderdome network, the data is only accessible if you have the correct context and the right attributes assigned to your identity. Fortanix provides the cryptographic enforcement of those ABAC policies right at the data layer. It's the last critical piece of the DoD Zero Trust strategy.
Our final DoD target is the Defense Enterprise Office Solution, DOS. This is managed by GDIT, and it's the massive rollout of Microsoft 365, including for IL5 and IL6 data. Can you quickly clarify those impact levels?
Sure. In the DoD, Information Impact Level 5, or IL5, is for controlled unclassified information. CUI, think high-risk medical records, sensitive technical docs. IL6 is for secret-level classified information.
And moving either of those to a commercial SaaS environment like Microsoft 365.
Is incredibly fraught with anxiety for the DoD. The big risk is that a Microsoft administrator or some unauthorized actor within the CSP could access the content. It's a huge blocker.
So how does Fortanix act as the blocker remover for GDIT?
By offering the specialized capabilities of double key encryption, DKE, and sovereign hold your own key for Microsoft 365, DKE ensures the DoD holds the master encryption key completely sovereignly, often in a dedicated on-prem Fortanix HSM or a cloud instance dedicated entirely to the agency.
And that cryptographically guarantees that Microsoft can't access the data.
Never. Under any circumstances, they can't access the content of emails or documents in the DOS environment. This capability is the essential feature that allows authorizing officials to finally approve the migration of those sensitive IL5 and IL6 workloads to DOS.
Okay, shifting to civilian agencies, let's look at the Health and Research Sector, HHS, and the new Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, ARPAH. They handle the most sensitive PII there is, patient records and genomic data.
Yeah, and this sector has a built-in tension. It requires data sharing for scientific advancement, but it demands absolute protection of privacy. This creates an immediate and massive need for confidential computing.
ARPAH is funding a biomedical data fabric to enable federated research. What's the goal with that, and how does Fortanix secure it?
The goal is revolutionary. You want to allow cancer centers and hospitals to run advanced AI diagnostic algorithms across their decentralized patient data, but without ever having to centralize or pool the raw, personally identifiable information.
which is fundamentally impossible without protecting data in use.
Impossible. And Fortanix, leveraging its existing successful partnerships with Leidos and Intel and accelerating clinical trials, is ideally positioned here. They orchestrate Intel SGX enclaves to ensure that while the algorithm runs at the edge where the data lives, the PII stays protected in memory. The hospital maintains complete cryptographic control while the researcher gets the diagnostic result they need.
So the strategic action here is to leverage that Leidos partnership, their Purple Sky joint venture, to embed Fortanix as the underlying security infrastructure for the entire ARPH toolbox.
Precisely. It becomes a foundational layer, not just some add-on. And you can apply the exact same logic to the massive NIH All of Us research program. They're managing immense genomic data sets with incredibly stringent controlled access, all under NIST 800-171 compliance.
So how does Fortanix help NIH balance that goal of open science with the non-negotiable need for patient privacy?
By creating a concept we can call Secure Enclave as a Service, NIH can maintain full custody of the raw sensitive sequence data. Researchers then can upload their proprietary algorithms to this Fortanix secured environment.
So the algorithm goes to the data, not the other way around.
Exactly. The algorithms run the necessary analysis inside the protected enclave, but the cryptographic controls prevent the researcher from ever viewing or, more importantly, exfiltrating the raw sequence data. This allows NIH to fulfill its mission of accelerated discovery while maintaining patient confidentiality and meeting the highest NIST requirements.
And finally, in this target group, let's look at the Department of Justice, the DOJ. Their whole mission revolves around strict digital evidence management and an unimpeachable chain of custody.
Right. The DOJ requires that their digital processes mirror the physical security and accountability protocols they have for high-value evidence. So in a physical vault, you often have a two-person rule for access.
And Fortanix provides the digital equivalent.
They do. It's the quorum approval feature of the DSM. This requires multiple, distinct, authenticated officers to digitally approve a key operation like releasing an encryption key to decrypt a critical piece of evidence before the action is permitted.
It guarantees chain of custody. It prevents a single point of failure or any unauthorized access.
And the strategy there is to expand Fortanix's existing footprint from smaller operational units into these large enterprise-wide Justice Cloud initiatives where standardization is everything.
We've identified the core technical needs, the major target agencies. But in the federal ecosystem, the federal systems integrators, the FSIs, are the real force multipliers.
They are. They control the contract vehicles. They control the architectural decisions. Fortanix has to position its innovation so that these FSIs actively want to use it to win bids.
Let's look at the top four, starting with Leidos.
Leidos is a key strategic partner. They lead in federal health and civil modernization. They're the prime contractor for MHS Genesis, the DACODE's electronic health record system, and they formed that critical Purple Sky joint venture focused on massive digital transformation.
And their existing relationship with Fortanix using the platform for real-world data clinical trials, that gives them a documented proof of concept. That's a huge advantage.
It's the perfect narrative. The actionable play is to approach the Leidos Purple Sky leadership and propose confidential computing as the non-competitive differentiator for these huge upcoming modernization contracts, like with CMS and the FDA.
So Leidos can go to the government and say,
we deliver a secure AI solution that is compliant with the White House AI executive order because we embed the only platform that protects your data in use. This helps Leidos win contracts that are focused on secure AI adoption.
Next up, General Dynamics Information Technology, or GDIT. They are the gatekeepers for major DoD cloud adoption. They operate DOS. They're transitioning MilCloud 2.0 workloads to JWCC.
GDIT is heavily invested in marketing its zero trust capabilities and its cloud management. But their biggest challenge is still convincing the DoD to move those high sensitivity IL5 and IL6 workloads.
So the actionable play is to position Fortanix as a key enabler for GDIT's services.
Yes, and you target their digital accelerators team specifically. You position Fortanix not as some third-party vendor, but as the foundational sovereignty layer for their managed cloud offerings.
And this allows GDIT to create and sell a highly differentiated, high-security cloud tier.
Right. By embedding Fortanix to handle the hold-your-own-key encryption, GDIT can guarantee to the DoD that they meet the stringent IL5, IL6 key management requirements without forcing the client agency to design, build, and operate that layer themselves. It expands GDIT's addressable market instantly into that high-security realm.
Okay, moving to Booz Allen Hamilton, BAH. They're the clear leader in federal AI services, a key holder of the Thunderdome ZT agreement, and they have an explicit focus on adversarial AI.
BAH is strategically focused on defending the models they build and the government's investment in them. Their biggest fear, and it's a specific risk called out in the AIEO, is model inversion and theft, where a malicious actor steals the proprietary AI model weights or the training data.
This sounds like a perfect match for the Fortanix Confidential Computing Manager, or CCM.
It absolutely is. The pitch to the BAH AI practice leaders should be all about protecting their intellectual property. BAH builds these powerful, complex AI models for mission delivery. If those models are stolen or poisoned during deployment or training, the entire government investment is lost and the mission fails.
So CCM protects the model weights and training data while the model is actively running in memory.
Exactly. It ensures the intellectual property that BAH develops for the government remains cryptographically secured throughout its entire life cycle.
And finally, we have the fulfillment engine, Carahsoft, the master government aggregator. They hold all the critical contract vehicles, NASA SUPV, NASPO, NIA partners.
Carahsoft is the transactional powerhouse. The strategy here is really two parts. First, tactically, you drive all your transaction flow through Carahsoft. It streamlines procurement. You use the trusted contract vehicles. Second, you leverage their powerful marketing engine. You need joint webinars, targeted campaigns, especially focused on the displacement opportunity we're about to discuss, and ensuring Fortanix is readily available on every relevant agency-specific catalog is, it's non-negotiable.
Let's talk about that specific high-value, time-bound displacement campaign. The Thales Vormetric end-of-life event. This is a critical tactical opening.
This is a golden, time-sensitive opportunity. Thales announced the official end of life for their Vormetric data security platform, with support ceasing back in June of 2024. For any federal agency still running Vormetric, this creates immediate operational risk. It forces a costly migration decision and it opens a competitive event.
What exactly is the day-to-day pain point for a federal sysadmin who's still running Vormetric? Why are they so motivated to look for an alternative?
The pain is chronic, and it's directly related to operational friction, which, by the way, violates the ZTA mandate for rapid patching. Legacy Vormetric used these kernel-level agents for file system encryption.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
It means a sysadmin is trying to apply a standard security patch to their operating system, which they have to do weekly or biweekly under EO 14028. If the Vormetric kernel agent isn't perfectly compatible with the new OS kernel, the system crashes. You get the dreaded kernel panic errors.
So the sysadmin has to just wait for a vendor-specific update, which slows down security patching and makes compliance impossible.
Exactly. They're constantly waiting. It slows down mission velocity and creates compliance risk. Fortanix File System Encryption, FSE, solves this so elegantly by operating entirely in user space. This eliminates all kernel dependencies. It makes OS patching seamless and quick. Fortanix doesn't just migrate them, it accelerates their compliance with EO 14028 by removing that daily friction.
So this sales play, maybe in partnership with Vormetric migration specialists like Sidechain Security, is a clear modernization, not migration campaign.
It's a value-based modernization pitch. The message to the federal customer is this: don't just migrate to Thales' successor, CipherTrust, which often requires a disruptive reinstallation and faces the exact same hardware ASIC refresh problem down the line. Move to Fortanix. You solve your immediate file system encryption pain with a user space solution, and you gain post-quantum readiness and unified cloud key management in one unified platform and one license.
It's an immediate operational win paired with a massive strategic future win.
That's the pitch.
To successfully execute these plays, the federal regional sales manager has to tailor the message to the specific audience. We've identified three distinct high-priority personas who respond to entirely different value propositions. Let's start with the one most focused on risk and compliance: the authorizing official, the AO, and the federal CISO.
Their entire universe is defined by risk management, the authority to operate process, and mapping everything to NIST 853 controls. They need concrete proof that Fortanix reduces their risk surface and simplifies that ATO process.
So what's the pitch that speaks directly to that primary concern?
It's the compliance narrative. It's Fortanix simplifies your ATO package by providing a single, unified platform that maps to and covers multiple critical NIST control families, SC, AC, IA, for both encryption and key management. We are FIPS 142 Level 3 validated, which is the non-negotiable foundation for your high-value data. And most importantly, the Cloud Kill Switch provides the specific risk mitigation control you need to authorize cloud migrations for your high-value assets, ensuring full data sovereignty. They want assurance, and this pitch delivers verifiable regulatory evidence.
Okay, next persona. The person focused on speed and agility. The cloud architect or the platform lead? These are the DevSecOps engineers, the Kubernetes and Terraform users.
Right. They care about automation, seamless integration, and zero friction. They view security tools as either helpful enablers or just painful blockers. They're driven by pipeline speed and ease of use.
So the pitch is all about integration and just making their lives easier.
Absolutely. The pitch is pure enablement. We are API first and cloud native. Fortanix integrates directly into your Terraform scripts and your Kubernetes clusters via secure sidecars. We are the easy button for Iron Bank compliance and secrets management for your CI/CD pipelines. We eliminate the entire problem of hard-coded credentials and manual secret rotation, allowing you to stop being a security bottleneck and start accelerating your build and deployment process at scale. They just want to know it'll work with the toolchain they already trust.
And finally, the mission or program owner, the program executive officer, the PEO, or a research director. They care about delivering features, speed to mission, and staying within budget.
For them, data security friction is the enemy. It's what prevents them from using the advanced tools they need, like Azure AI services or modern data fabrics. The pitch has to focus on enablement and mission velocity.
So what's that final decisive pitch to win over the PEO?
SNIS. Fortanix removes the data security friction that is currently paralyzing your ability to innovate. We solve the persistent privacy and sovereignty issues like ITAR, CJIS, and PII controls that are blocking your access to the necessary modern platforms, whether that's Azure AI, AWS GovCloud, or the RPAH Data Fabric. By enabling safe, secure cross-agency collaboration and ensuring data is protected in use, Fortanix accelerates your mission outcomes, allowing you to deliver new features and capabilities faster and more securely, all while future-proofing your investment.
And that really brings us to the end of our deep dive. What we've done is synthesize this entire federal landscape. Fortanix isn't just addressing a single point of pain. It is aligning its entire portfolio with three massive, irreversible federal mandates simultaneously.
That is the unified advantage. The transition to zero trust is mandatory. Preparation for post-quantum cryptography is critical, and it's time-sensitive. And the adoption of secure AI is now a national priority, directed straight from a White House executive order.
Fortanix is positioned as really the only unified data security platform capable of addressing these three imperatives: EO 14028, NSM 10, EO 14110, with a single software-defined platform that still utilizes hardware security.
It transforms what could be a massive compliance overhead into a core capability that actually accelerates mission velocity and reduces strategic risk.
The speed to mission that the federal government demands is achieved by systematically removing that data security friction that currently hinders innovation and modernization.
Whether it's giving the AO the cloud kill switch they need for HVA migration, providing developers the easy button for Iron Bank compliance, or giving the PEO access to confidential computing for secure AI, Fortanix provides that essential strategic layer to achieve this high velocity.
And we leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over, specifically concerning the urgency of NSM 10. If the threat of harvest now, decrypt later is real, and given that the shift to PQC algorithms is already a fixed reality, how quickly should agencies pivot their entire security infrastructure from fixed, hardware-dependent legacy tools to software-designed crypto agility to avoid the inevitable future cost shock and operational catastrophe of a PQC migration? That strategic shift is needed not tomorrow, but today.
It is the defining strategic IT decision for every federal CIO in the current decade.
Thank you for joining us for the deep dive. We'll see you next time.